the intro.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Why the heck do you let things push your buttons? That's what this is about. Why the heck do you let things push your buttons? People exhibit frustration intolerance when they get stuck in the frustration aversion paradox. They start fapping. They avoid or delay, which causes them more frustration rather than asserting themselves and confronting the issue and resolving it. People veer off health plans in favor of indulging impulsive cravings. They ignore people and interrupt them. They act out when they feel hassled. They give up on themselves and lose patience with others. Some people absolutely can't stand waiting. Let's take cooking, for example. Sarah acted so crazy about waiting for anything. Why bother slow roasting something in the oven when you can crank up the broiler to destroy an otherwise perfectly fine meal for yourself and everyone else? You and I both know these sorts of behaviors. They translate practically everywhere else as well. Standing in line, downloading apps, being put on hold. Practically anything with a countdown is counting down at half the speed it should, except when there are responsibilities on them, and then the countdown clock is obviously twice as fast as it should be, and then they are overwhelmed, and they can't stand it. You think this is a coincidence? Sarah, now, though, is down over 30 pounds and actually relishes the thought of waiting, because she realized she could use that time to practice her Italian so that she can fulfill her dream of a summer in Rome. Cool, right? It's pretty cool. Some people absolutely can't stand modifying their lifestyle. Tabitha, as many of you know personally, when you follow TKN's series, okay, lots of information and stories regarding Tabitha, she's fabulous, had a massive weight problem. She'd starve herself. She'd purge. She'd swear off anything that tasted good because it has to be bad for you. It tastes good. And then at the slightest frustration, she was a master of giving herself permission to snack or graze or drink. Right? Especially at night, to wind down, actually consuming more calories than if she just had regular meals at regular times with regular foods. She understood intellectually the importance of her body fat loss, but philosophically she was in conflict. She was in conflict. She was doing things on purpose that were against her intentions and continued restricting herself more, which led to further emotional disturbance, which led to further blowouts. Okay? She continuously shot herself in the foot and then raged to the frustration gods that her foot was in pain. You think that's a coincidence? As of this writing, though, Tabitha is now down more than 120 pounds and is off all her medications. Fabulous. Some people can't stand working. They can't stand it. Justin, a licensed massage therapist I worked with, practically always ran behind, always running behind. It may seem like his always running behind and screwing up his schedule is because of time management. But you already know that sort of thing is a farce. Well, you will in any case. It is willfully ignorant of a person to assume that a calendar app and a to-do list solves a person's chronic procrastination and tardiness. It's stupid. It's like telling an angry person to calm down or telling a super fat person to eat less. Oh, you have problems with your schedule? Here's a to-do list and a calendar. Like, screw off. He would stay up late, show up late, would keep some clients longer, cut the time for other clients short, dawdle at home and forget things so he'd have to turn around and so on and so forth. His estimation about time for things regarding his profession were, to put it lightly, they were crappy. Many of his clients did learn to deal with his behavior, as many well-meaning and neglected clients do. And those clients that did deal with Justin's frustration avoidance gave Justin the leverage he needed to smack talk the clients that did have a problem with it. How dare they? How could anyone possibly back talk a master of their craft? This is ludicrous. This made it easy for Justin to deny the reality that his massage practice was continuously contracting, losing more clients month over month. His shrinking practice and his righteous indignation, his righteous anger with the clients that sensically left because of his absenteeism, led him to rage at the frustration gods. Why? Because he felt like the universe was working against him, that people hated small businesses, and that the world is filled with stupid idiot a-holes, and why bother putting the effort in? Well, guess what that does? That adds fuel to his procrastination fire. Why bother working? Soon, Justin started hating his work. His professionalism suffered, his practice suffered, which made him hate his work more until Justin was just about to close up shop and found TKN. Now, it seems strange why Justin would have come to TKN because of his failing massage practice, and you'd be right. He came because in the process of his life super totally completely falling apart, there is a quote there on purpose, that he put on a whopping 52 pounds because beer and wings after a long day of hating work is the only cure for a failing business, obviously. He was a good sport about it. This is why thinking in terms of frustration tolerance is so powerful. After only a few short weeks, Justin learned tons about himself. Learned tons about himself, and food is a great fulcrum for that, for self-monitoring and feedback and experimenting, right? Establish presence of mind, use his body with purpose, on purpose and with purpose, and started setting up his positive feedback loops. As his body fat went down, his business improved with his body fat going down. Now, is this because weight loss made him a better salesman and masseur? Maybe. It's more likely that Justin discovered that he was encountering frustrating stimuli, for sure. That he had destructive outcomes, for sure. But what he was missing was the response. He was going right from S to O. That the frustrating stimulus was causing the outcome. That these stupid clients were making my business fail. Right? Right from A to C. However, he learned what was missing was the response. The S, the R, and the O. That he was the one, thankfully, responding to his frustrating stimuli foolishly and impulsively. And thankfully, because of that, he realized he could do something about it. That's why it's good. It's easy to take it the wrong way. To go, oh my goodness, I'm the one causing all of my misery. I'm such a poophead. Why bother? Or you can be rational about it and say, I'm the one causing all my problems. Great. That means I can also fix it. His practice was at an all-time high when his body fat was at an all-time low. Do you think these results are coincidental? There's so much comically tragic conflict. Are these things normal, though? Yes, they are normal. However, there are giant differences between normal and good. It is true these responses that conflict with desires are in many cases justifiable. It's easy to give yourself permission to indulge in vices and strong emotions, even when it means setting yourself back. It's a type of strong and urgent response when it feels like other people or the universe is acting against us, and that things are much harder than they should be, and that life is vicious and cruel, and that fairness is a stupid pipe dream. And there are two things about that, two interesting things about that worth pointing out. One, that yes, life is vicious and cruel, and fairness is a stupid pipe dream. If a person demands and commands to be treated fairly by others and by the universe, and then gets consistently insulted when real life violates that demand, and then continues to demand what they must have and be treated how they should be treated in the conditions they deem fit, well, that's quite an interesting approach to life, eh? And two, demanding that life be fair and being consistently shown that life is mostly at the whim of chance, and continuing to demand life be fair and throwing a fit when life so rudely violates that demand, it's what leads to a lot of double trouble and emotional disturbance and acting dumbly and getting crappy results and destructive outcomes galore, which then become their own frustrating stimuli, as you now know. People choose to play stupid games, they win stupid prizes, and then they hate the game. And this is where people get lost. This is where people get lost. Do people actually say, life isn't fair? How can anyone treat a doll like me this way? Make everything as easy as I think it should be. Do people actually say that? Sometimes, few times. And an overwhelming majority say or think other things. They think other things that imply that sort of phraseology. And therefore, give themselves permission to shut off their critical thinking skills and give themselves permission to ignore reality. They say, well, this only applies to people that say those things. I say different stuff. So long as to prolong their pity parties and hissy fits and general misery as long as possible, because, you know, logic. Now, so what do people do? Or so, how do people communicate distorting their distorted demandingness and their rigid BS they tell themselves, their belief systems? If they're saying different things, well, then how do you tell? How do you tell if you're doing it? How do you tell if somebody else is doing it? Well, take the previous real life examples. People communicate their distorted demandingness by getting upset. That is it. Does it matter what the specific thing is? Many times, no. Just the fact that somebody is getting upset means that there is some rigid belief, there is some dogmatic belief, some crazy BS a person is telling themselves. That's the only reason to get upset about anything. A person upsets themselves and becomes emotionally disturbed when they are frustrated beyond their tolerance. And they are frustrated beyond their tolerance because their expectations of a situation deviate from the reality of the situation. And instead of adjusting their expectations to align with reality so that they can think rationally and act deliberately so as to resolve the frustration, instead, they decide to get upset and get frustrated that they are frustrated. That's it. It's wholly possible to change from rigid and demanding and impulsive to rational, deliberate, and purpose-filled. Send a message if you're interested in learning more about TCAN and working with Dr. Cashy so that you can learn a slew of scientifically based and practically applicable approaches to more rational thinking and deliberate acting so you can have purpose-filled responses, which means you overcome frustration and get your life back, hey? Just send a message. We'll gladly talk with you for free. That's all she wrote today. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Cashy? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Cashy is out!